let you shorten that runway after that first. Then the second, the guys kind of responded. And even in the third one, you know, I guess behind again, you came back.
No, I felt good about our game. Just against this team, we talked about it coming in and talked about it continuously. You can't get in penalty trouble. I mean, they gain all their momentum, their power plays, elite. I've seen this record play too many times in this building with the penalties in the third period and changing the course of the game. So it's a little bit of a learning experience, but overall, I thought we played pretty well.
All right, there you go. That was Predators head coach Andy Brunette post-game after game one of the season in Tampa. We're live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena ahead of the Predators' home opener tonight against the Seattle Kraken. And joining us now is Max Herz.
Hello.
Hey, Max. Always appreciate you. When I was watching that game on Tuesday night, after the first period, I thought, oh, boy. Like, ooh, this is going to be a long night. Is this going to be a long season? But came back in the second and third period, showed a lot of fight. What did you learn about that team in that transition from slow start to strong finish?
It's not a surprise necessarily that it happened that way with how the Predators are built right now, with the inexperience, the new coach, new style of play at even strength. So it wasn't shocking, but Willie and I were down there with the broadcast crew, and Andrew Brunette just told us this morning after watching film, the first period really wasn't as bad as he thought it was watching it live.
Defensively.
Yeah.
Defensively.
In the D zone, they were good. They were in the D zone way too much.
That's the problem.
But in the D zone, they were good.
You had enough of the sample size defensively.
But then, starting right at the midpoint of the second period, through the first couple minutes of the third, before the Lightning tied the game at 2-2, Kraken is who we're playing tonight.
Yes.
There was a stretch where the Preds had 15 shots in a row and did not give up a shot on goal. It was a dominant stretch where they tied the game towards the end of the second. Parsonen scored the goal on the first shift of the third. They had two good power plays in the second period that helped establish that momentum and start it. So they had some really good stretches in that game. First period, not so good possession-wise. Second period, very good. Third period, a wash because you gave up two power play goals, a penalty shot goal, and an empty net goal. But you didn't give up a 5-on-5 goal after the first 10 minutes of the game.
Max Herz is with us. Ryan O'Reilly, you know, Stanley Cup winning player, you know, one of those players across the league that everybody looks up to. Philip Forsberg, you know, cornerstone at this franchise, a core player with the Predators. And then young gun Juuso Parsonen. It's a funny little trio on the top line. How do you feel Juuso Parsonen has held his own against two veteran players in O'Reilly and Forsberg?
I'd like to talk to Ryan O'Reilly about this sometime once Parsonen has really given more sample size on that top line, where he's going to stay, by the way, because he's really, really good at every aspect of the game at the NHL level. And I just don't want anybody to forget that because he was injured for a while last year, came back, scored that great goal. When that goal happened, I was just like, I hope nobody forgot how good Parsonen is. He does everything so well. But it's great that he's playing with O'Reilly because O'Reilly's got a Selke trophy for best defensive forward. And I think Parsonen's going to be a candidate for that award over what is hopefully a long NHL career. So, and being on the wing, I thought, set him up for some good stuff on Tuesday and in the preseason because it allows him to forecheck more, which he's really good at. It allows him to go into the corners more, and it allows him to jump plays in certain spots like he did on his goal right off the opening faceoff of the third period on Tuesday. He started the chaos that led to the eventual turnover that O'Reilly helped with. Forsberg with the beautiful pass. Parsonen with the beautiful move in front. And a great goal for the undisputed Preds top line.
You know, it's interesting, Max. Tonight is the next test. You could tell it with Andrew Brunette, the way he faced the media today, that he knows that this is it's a big picture kind of season. You want to see where everybody stands at the end of the year. But you've got five games early on against heavyweights, and the Kraken are probably maybe the least scary team on paper, but this is a really good Kraken team that beat the Avalanche in the playoffs last year, and here they come with largely the same group tonight. So you've got five tough games to start, and I know he's probably a little antsy. You'd love to be able to win a few games here, build confidence and stuff. All that to say, it'll be an interesting test tonight because you don't want to sink further down in the standings to where at the end of the first month you're saying, man, we got an uphill climb here.
Yeah, and only about half the NHL has played a game so far. These are two of the teams that opened on Tuesday, and they're both 0-1. So these are two teams that really need a win. Predators, because they have a new coach. Kraken, because their expectations are really up after the playoff round win last year. So it's an interesting spot for two teams that are 0-1, and I think the Predators certainly do have the advantage in some areas, especially goaltending, and I think you could argue on defense as well. But the Kraken can move, and you're talking about what Brunette said about the Kraken, Willie. He told Chris Mason today, I love this comment, the game that Brunette was a coach in last year when he was the associate head coach for the Devils, the Devils Kraken game last year was the fastest NHL game he has ever seen.
Yeah, and they have four lines that are stacked with players that are probably – there's not a superstar among them, but they have four lines that can all do some damage. They all play together very, very well. They have a very good structure. Dave Hakstol, who was completely run out of Philadelphia, was surprisingly, I think, named the Kraken's head coach, and then they didn't do well the first year, and people were like, ah, is this really the guy? It's kind of like Barry Trotz early. Well – the expansion coach, he'll be that one guy, and then they'll get the next guy. You know, but he's now established himself as a very good coach. And I think if you go back to the game last year, their structure really hurt that young Predators group. So I think this is a test of the new system for Andrew Brunette to see if they can stay connected.
Yeah, and like you said, they have balance. So the Preds are not going to be able to take any shifts off. I'm curious just kind of what ice time distribution looks like if they're trying to maybe move some wingers around on lines to try and get certain offense-defense matchups. And that's the great part about being at home. You get a chance to match if you want to. So we'll see what that looks like tonight, and it'll hopefully give the Predators a face-off advantage and therefore a possession advantage as well that they were not able to get on Tuesday.
Andrew Brunette was on with the morning show today, guys, and he was still talking about there's still some players, still collectively as a group, they're trying to iron out the new system. It stands to reason. It's the second game that he's coached. But one guy that did not have a great game, uncharacteristically, against Tampa was Roman Josi. And so I remember something that Barry Trotz told us in the training camp. This is before they ever even played a preseason game. He said Roman Josi is a guy that loves to carry the puck. And the analytics, when we would make the case here of why he is the best and was, you know, is deserving of the Norris Trophy, part of the stats that we looked at was his zone entries, his zone exits, carrying the puck out of the defensive zone, skating past people, skating into the offensive zone. But this system is predicated more on passing the puck up the ice and then trailing in. So it's an adjustment for Roman Josi. And so I'm hoping he adapts quickly. He's a really coachable player. We know what kind of person he is, how badly he wants to win. But that's something to look for here. I think if he can steadily get better and more comfortable in this system.
Yeah, and I think once the system clicks, too, it will open him up for a lot more in separate areas.
Yes.
Which will be dashing into the play without the puck as the forwards bring it across the offensive blue line and then getting a shot off the wing or even cutting into the slot for one-timers.
There were times last year where nothing was happening.
Yeah.
Forwards weren't doing anything, and he was basically like, okay, I'm just going to take the puck and make this stuff happen.
I'll do it myself.
And he was capable of doing it. He's led this team in scoring for four straight years.
Yeah.
But for them to grow, it's kind of like the Derrick Henry thing. Mm-hmm. You can't rely too much on one guy if you want to grow as a group, especially with some of these forwards that they think have something to bring to the table. So that's the transition that's going on, kind of like with Spears and Henry, the balance of how you try to work and get the most out of guys.
Luke Shen even mentioned that when we sat down with him at training camp. He said it's getting Roman Josi out of that habit. Like, you can share it. You can pass it around. It doesn't always have to be on your shoulders. Max Herz, always appreciate you. Where can the people find your fabulous Predators coverage tonight?
On the radio, the radio station you're listening to right now. I don't know if you guys have talked about this yet.
No, we need to say that. I'm glad you brought that up because we want to give a shout out to Pete Weber, who did the opening game, 25th anniversary of the team, but has come under the weather, so he is out of the mix for the next few days. So Max will be calling the game tonight, sliding in, but we want to wish Pete well because
Pete will be back late next week, hopefully.
Yes, and he has never missed a home opener before, so I know it's killing him to be back home and not able to come in there. So shout out to Pete, but Max will do it. And then Chase will slide in the suit, the ready utility man will slide in and do the pregame coverage, which starts at 6, correct?
Yes.
6 o'clock.
It starts at 6 o'clock.
Why are you not confident in that?
Well, it's open.
You also work here.
We have an extra 30 minutes in our show. I was just making sure that you guys didn't have anything.
The pregame show actually starts right now. You guys have one more minute in
Matt
your show.
Matt Turr slides in for the call, and now all of a sudden he's just, you know, diva to everybody.
Yeah, throwing daggers.
Jeez,
and digs.
Louise.
Yeah. The game is at 7.
Oh, my goodness.
The pregame show is at 6.
Well, thank you for the clarification on that. And we're wishing a speedy recovery to Pete Weber. Have a good
Love
call
you,
tonight.
Petey.
Max, appreciate
Thanks,
you
guys.
As always. Thanks, Max. All right, coming up next, let's pick some underdogs. It will be silly underdog picks here. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.